In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Again, I come to you saying that we need to pay July's bills. We really do, so please be generous to us, knowing that your gift, I have nothing to do with it. I do not take one penny of it. So this is the address, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Or if you want to give online, inseason.net, and go to donate. Inseason, I-N-S-E-A-S-O-N, .net, and then go to donate. I'm looking at the 21st chapter of St. Luke, the coming of the Son of Man. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts shall fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Yes, the earth shall be shaken, and the heavens shall be shaken at the coming of the Lord. That's why we have to be ready today. It's all about being ready by giving our life to Jesus, allowing him to reign over us. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. And even these things begin to come to pass. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. When these things happen, lift up and know that your redemption draws near. Who is our redemption? Jesus the Lord. He is our redemption when he shed his blood for us. The parable of the fig tree. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of yourselves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Oh yes, when these signs in the heavens and on the sun and on the moon and in the stars and in the oceans, you know that the kingdom is nigh at hand. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Notice that the word of God shall not pass away. Why? Because thy word is truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, overeating, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, to be able to stand before the Son of Man, justified by his blood, redeemed by his blood, sanctified by his blood. And in that day he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. This is Jesus' prayer place. He goes to the Mount of Olives. As you're in the Mount of Olives, you look down and you can see the temple. You look down and you can see Jerusalem, yes, especially the temple. And all the people came early in the morning to the temple area to hear Jesus. Yes, to hear Jesus. Why do they want to hear Jesus? Because Jesus is the way to life, and Jesus speaks with authority, and Jesus is the great healer. He comes to heal the people and the nations. So we see that the people come still to follow Jesus. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, chapter 22, drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Why? Because the people knew that Jesus was the Lord, that they knew that this was more than a prophet, that this was, I don't know if they knew he was God, but that he was more than a prophet. Then entered the enemy Satan into Judas, whose surname is Iscariot, being of the number of the 12 apostles. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad, and they covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. In other words, when the people went around. This is Judas Iscariot. Imagine, one of his 12 that went against him. He was more than a friend. We hear him in one of the Gospels saying, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with the kiss? And you know what? He's giving him a chance to say, I'm sorry. But there was no sorrow in Judas. The Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. That's the Passover lamb. Must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare for us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where will we prepare the Passover? And he said unto them, Behold, when you enter the city, there shall meet a man, and he is bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house where he enters in. The woman was the one who carried the water. So this would be very, very, very distinct, that the man had the water on his head, and he is the one that they are going to follow to a furnished room. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, The master said that where is the chamber where I shall eat my Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, and make it ready. I just remember going to that upper room with Aunt May. Poor Aunt May wasn't able to stand. She was out in the spirit just for being in the room called the upper room, the cenacle, the dining room, yes. And they went and found as they had said unto them. They made ready for the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So Jesus takes the cup and he gives it to them. This is not the cup of the blood. This is just a cup of wine. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The word remembrance means to make present, to make present. Anamnesis, to make present. That when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we make present the Lord Jesus Christ. We make present the Lord. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man whom he has been betrayed by. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this terrible thing. And this is very important as we look at verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them would be accounted the greatest. You see, Jesus needed to go to the cross. These disciples have been with him for how long? For 3 years. And still this fighting about who is the greatest. Jesus has to draw these disciples into his heart. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be the least. For he that is chief among you, let him be the servant. For whether is greater, he that sits at table or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at table? But I am among you as he that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my trials. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed it to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, before he dies, Jesus Christ gives us himself sacramentally. Sacramentally, he gives us himself so that Jesus is with us in the Word, in the sacrament, in the power of God, in the priesthood, in the evangelist, in the prophet. Jesus is with us in all these things, but especially the sacrament and the Word. He is with us. The Word of God, when read by someone, it is Christ proclaiming the Word of God through the person who reads the Word of God. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you out as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have been converted, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus prays for Simon that he's going to be sifted out by wheat. He's going to be tempted, and he's going to give into the temptation. And what is the temptation? He's going to deny Jesus. He's going to deny Jesus. And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. That's what Peter said. And he said, I tell you, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before you have 3 times denied that you know me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without a purse, without a scrip, without shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Then said Jesus unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, likewise a scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy a sword. For I say unto you that this is that which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are 2 swords. And Jesus said unto them, it's enough. It's enough. Let me tell you this. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And we remember that the disciples, many of his disciples, left him at this time. They did not know how he was going to do this. Of course, we know what it is. He does it at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ now prays in the garden. And he came out and went as was his wont, really what he used to do, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he withdrew from there about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. When Jesus is saying, take this cup away from me, he is already beginning to absorb the sins of the world. And God sends an angel to strengthen him. This is not Jesus saying, I don't want to do this. This is Jesus saying, I need help right now. It's like a mother giving birth to a child. I need help right now. It's not that I don't want to give birth to this child. I need help right now. The sins of the world were being drawn into the heart of Jesus as he prayed in the garden. And he asked for help, and he got help, and he got this angel who strengthened him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Oh, it was heavy. It was heavy. And they were tasting the heaviness. And said Jesus unto them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, so you will not enter into temptation. Very important. Prayer is very important. Why are you sleeping? It is time that you pray, that you may not enter into temptation. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite him with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye not thus far. And he touched the ear and healed him. Imagine, in his passion, he heals the man's right ear. We know what his name is. John tells us his name was Malchus. He healed the man's right ear. You would think that the people who saw this would say, this is truly the Messiah. We're going to forget about handing him over, and we're going to forget about crucifying him. But that's not what their hearts were. Their hearts were jealous over Jesus. Jesus spoke with authority, and he drew crowds. Jesus healed the sick, and he drew crowds. This is so important that Jesus did these things, and as a result of these things, people followed him. And they were jealous, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, have you come out against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched no hands against me. But this is your hour. It is the power of darkness. This is the hour when it was very dark. And Jesus now is absorbing the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, until they put him on the cross, and then the sins come in quickly, very quickly. Jesus is like a woman giving birth to us, yes, giving birth to us. Then took they him and led him and brought him before the high priest's house, and Peter followed from afar. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall where they sat down, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld Peter as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with Jesus. And Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you say." And immediately, while he spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times." Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, this is very interesting. Peter goes out and weeps bitterly because he has betrayed the Lord. Judas hangs himself because he doesn't think there's forgiveness for him. Repentance that is tormenting is not of God. You can just throw away tormenting repentance. It's not of God. Repentance of God gives peace. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that hit thee?" And many of the other things, as they blasphemed, spoke them against Jesus. This is terrible. This is Jesus bearing our wounds and carrying our infirmities. This is Jesus taking upon himself the sins of the world and the sins of the nations, my sins and your sins. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. As a matter of fact, the greatest thing that he did was in his passion when he drew into himself the whole world. "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Jesus Christ was drawing you and me into his broken heart. He's like a mother giving birth to us, a second birth. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. But this is awful for Jesus. It's awful for Jesus because he is under the experience of agony. Then said they all, "Are you then the Son of God?" And Jesus said unto them, "You say that I am." And they said, "What need do we have further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard this from his own mouth, that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." Remember what Jesus said? How could the Messiah be David's lineage only, when the scripture says, "The Lord says to my Lord," in other words, that this Messiah was Lord, that he was God. He was God. Chapter 23, Jesus before Pilate and Herod. And the whole multitude of them arose and led Jesus unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "You say it." And then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." See? I find no fault. He didn't do anything wrong. And they were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout the Jewish people, beginning from Galilee to this place." Then Pilate heard of Galilee. He asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent Jesus to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. He wants Jesus to do a miracle. But Jesus isn't doing miracles for Herod, I tell you. For he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of Jesus, and he hoped to have him see a miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused Jesus. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, purple, and sent him again to Pilate. That same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for there they were at enmity between them. They were enemies, and because of Jesus, they became friends. Let me tell you, my friends, the greatest thing Jesus did was to mount the cross. That's the greatest thing he did, to mount the cross and to pay for our sins. That's the greatest thing he did. And you know what? He did it for you, and he did it for me. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. May he look upon you and give you his peace. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to give you his peace. Accept it today. It's a gift from the cross. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.